Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we are in our series called Culture of the Kingdom, and this series, if you're just joining us, is on the Sermon on the Mount. And we think that the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if that's a new concept to you, that you would study one of Jesus' sermons. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is the introduction to what it means to be a Christian. Like how to really love Jesus. How to be a real follower of God. And so we've been going slow through the Sermon on the Mount. We've just been taking one principle or idea at a time in order that we could really develop it so we could get it, so we could try to live it for real. And so this morning, Culture of the Kingdom, Session 15, the principle of giving. Now, I just want to tell you that I'm not into like the idea of giving money because it's easy or fun or whatever, because it's not. It's not easy or fun. I'm into the principle of giving because Jesus was into the principle of giving. And if Jesus was into like bull riding, I'd be into bull riding. I mean, I just want to do what Jesus is doing. I want to be about what he's about. I want to take what he says, believe it, and then try to do it, whatever it is. And so what we're going to do this morning, like we've been doing in this series, we're going to take the verses in the Sermon on the Mount, again, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's basic Christianity. We're going to take the verses, the statements that Jesus said about giving away money. And we're going to look at those statements and just see what he said and why. And as we introduced last week, Jesus went really heavy on three things in Matthew chapter 6 that are kind of like lifestyle part of Christianity, you know, components. He went pretty heavy on praying, fasting, and giving away money. And he said, if you'll do these three things, your life is going to be so much better than you think it will be. You'll actually have more than you would if you didn't pray, fast, and give. And so we're going to take one session each on these. It just so happens we're going to cover giving first. So what I want to do here is I want to look at the verses that we find in the Sermon on the Mount related to the subject of giving, and these are all the words of Jesus. So everything we're going to read, it's something that Jesus said. It's something that he had in his heart, in his mind, related to the subject of money. I just think it's so funny that in Jesus's like premier sermon, this is like the sermon that he wants to filter through the ages. The Sermon on the Mount, that he talks about money like seven times. It's only three chapters, Jesus. Why are you talking about money? You sound so like preachy, you know, like, oh, we just want your money, just want your money. Like, why are you talking about money? Because I think that Jesus understood something about the human heart related to money and how if we don't have the right perspective, it clogs up our relationship with God. But if we have the right perspective, it's like Drano, man. I'm telling you, it goes right through there and you got clear lines. You encounter the Lord more. You're more connected to him. You're right in the middle of what he's doing. So let's just read them. Is that okay? Let's do Matthew 5, 23 through 24. All right. Jesus says this. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there. This was an offering to God. He's talking about giving God something of your substance, of your stuff. And the context there looks a little different than it does now, but the idea is the same. It was people taking their resources, taking their stuff, their hard-earned stuff, and giving it to God on the altar. Go into the temple, having like a moment where you're going, God, I'm giving you some of my stuff. And it really costs them stuff. And Jesus talks about this in the most natural, like matter-of-fact sort of a way. Like, you know, when you go give offerings to God, because that's what you do, you're a giver of stuff to God guy or gal. Like, that's what you do as a Christian. That's a normal thing. You offer gifts. You offer, I'm going to say money, because in their culture, even if it wasn't money, it was something that cost money, that was worth money. It's kind of the same in my book. So offering money, you're going to offer God sacrifices of money. And he says, hey, when you do that, because that's like a normal thing that you do, if you're on the way and you remember somebody's mad at you, like, go get right with them. He's actually talking about, his main focus is actually reconciliation with people, but he uses a situation that is so, it's supposed to be so normal in the life of a Christian, giving God money. It's like, you know, you give God money all the time, right? I want to be giving God money. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pretend you are. When you give God money, if you're on the way to do that and you remember somebody's mad at you, go fix that and then go give God the money. Like, wow, how infiltrated into normal life the concept of giving God money, Jesus thought it was. Just normal, just part of life. Next, Matthew 5, 42. It's still in Matthew 5. We haven't even got out of chapter 5 yet. He's talking about it again. Being generous to those that ask us. Matthew 5, 42 says, give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So in this scenario, Jesus is presenting the idea about giving. He's telling us to be generous to those that want help. So if we find people that are asking for help, he says, I actually want you to help them. I want you to try to help them. And in the context of the passage, when you look at the surrounding verses, he actually even means bad guys. Like if bad guys want your money. He's specifically saying people who are going to like mistreat you and cause you problems. Like, Jesus, you even want me to give away money to bad guys? This is so like revolutionary. This is such a different thought process of what we do with our money. Like who sits around thinking, I'm going to make a list of bad guys I'm going to give my money to today. Like, we don't think that way at all. But Jesus is actually all about it. He wants for us to give our finances even to those that are going to mistreat us and they're going to cause us problems. I just think it's so funny that Jesus is encouraging generosity even at that level. He wants us to be generous. Well, I think Paul, I'm going to come out of the Sermon on the Mount for just a second, because I think Paul caught this language of Jesus and then like took it to another level. I'm going to read you this verse out of, I think it's 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 9:11. And he's now talking about, this is Paul, in my opinion, this is Paul interpreting Jesus and going even further than bad guys. Because, I mean, we want to go further than just blessing our enemies. He says this, Paul in 2 Corinthians verse 9, verse 11, chapter 9, verse 11. You will be enriched. This is the interaction, our relationship with God related to our money. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He says, I actually am praying for you, and I believe for your relationship with the Lord related to your money, that God will give you the capacity to check this, be generous on every occasion. Oh my gosh, there's so many occasions. I mean, Hallmark's already filled up the schedule. Today's Father's Day. Like there's occasions here and occasions there. We got occasions all over the place. And Paul is taking the words of Jesus going, I want for you to be able to be generous to your enemies. Yeah, if somebody asks you for money, I want you to be able to be generous. I want you to be enriched by God in every way so that you could be generous on every occasion. You know, generous is different than tipping the bucket with a dollar. I mean, there's a difference between a dollar and being generous. Unless a dollar is all you got, then you'd be pretty generous. That's 100% of what you got. The difference between generosity and just a little bit, Paul's talking crazy talk here. I mean, think about this. Generous, as in lots of money, on every occasion? This is crazy. Let me tell you how this is supposed to work. We're supposed to be conduits, not stagnant ponds, related to our finances. A stagnant pond, the water comes in and never leaves. Water comes in and never leaves. We're supposed to be a tube, and that thing's always flowing. And the more it flows out, the more comes in the other end. The bigger you try to make the outside of the tube, the bigger God widens the inside of the tube. The side that's bringing in the finances, because it's actually the priority of the kingdom that the people of God would be able to be so generous, have such the favor of God on our lives related to our finances, that we're able to be generous. That means more than a little on every occasion. I don't know about you. That sounds fun to me. I mean, to be able to be generous all the time and just go, ah, easy come, easy go. There's $1,000, there it goes. There's $100, there it goes. It's just kind of like watching the tube, okay? And it's being generous on every occasion. How fun. What a fun way to live. That doesn't sound burdensome. That sounds exciting. To be able to live generously on all occasions. I mean, go try to make that verse mean something else. So that you can be enriched in such a way that you're able to be generous all the time on every occasion. I love it. All right, let's get back to Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, now we're in chapter 6. Matthew 6, 2 through 4. Jesus talking about the needy, but you know, a few other translations, needy, poor, charitable deeds, looking in NASB, New King James, NIV, a few others. This isn't just limited to homeless people, right? This is needy. If they're needy, it counts. Well, how do you define needy? Jesus actually leaves it pretty open on purpose. If you would define them as needy, then Jesus defines them as needy. And not only that, the way that the Lord works, just think about this. The way the Lord works, he tugs at our heart so that there's relational connections to people, to things, to issues, to initiatives. So it's actually better that Jesus didn't define needy as only this category of people. Because here's the gift. If Jesus leaves the term needy open, you're going to look at one situation and go, that person's in need. And I'm going to look at that same situation and not feel that tug. I'm going to go, they don't seem needy to me. This group over here seems needy. And now God can orchestrate the finances of the kingdom through the heart connections. That I feel like, man, I want to give into this. There's a need there I want to meet. You see this need over here and you want to meet that. And the Lord gets the whole thing done by the leading of the Holy Spirit and us giving into the kingdom. Let's just read it. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. That's the reason they're giving. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing so that your giving may be done in secret. Again, Jesus just talking about this giving thing like it's so normal. I mean, I want it to be normal. I want it to be normal in your life, in my life. I want this to be normal Christianity because Jesus taught about it like it was totally normal. You just giving away money here, then you giving away money there. It's like, Jesus, how many ways can I give away money? Well, so long as God is your supplier, you don't ever have to stop. If you're in charge, you're in trouble. If you are in charge of bringing money into your finances, if you are the sole supplier and provider for your household, then you're in trouble. But if God is your supplier, which is really what all this is all about, it's believing that there's just going to be more. Think about manna. I just love the concept of manna, okay? So in the desert, you got all these Israelites. There's millions of them. They're all hungry. You just imagine the angels going, God, do we really... Can we afford, can heaven afford to give out all that manna today? There might not be any more tomorrow. The storehouses of heaven are going to empty out of manna. And you just see the Father like, I got this. And he just pours out all this manna. And then the next day, there's more manna. And the next day, there's more manna. And the next day, because God was the provider. In God, there is no lack of resource. Our issue is we think we're in charge of our finances. Our problem is we think I got that job. I'm in charge of my money. I do the budget. Me, 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 I. And God's like, I want to be so involved in this. I want to be like your air. I want to be the air you breathe in. I want to be so near that you're trusting me to be your source of supply. All right, let's read Matthew 6:21 and 6:24. This is Jesus going after our hearts. He wants to free us from covetousness. You know what covetousness means? I want it, and I want it now, and I'll do anything to get it. And I want your stuff. Give me your stuff. Covetousness, this longing, this drive, this unhealthy ambition for stuff. Like, why do we want stuff so bad? We want stuff, man. We do. We see stuff, and we want it. And, you know, all the marketing out there is not helping because we just want everything that comes out on the market. We want it. We already got the other one that was the best one a year ago, and now we want that one. Because that one's better, and it's got a little knob on it that the previous one didn't have. I want the knob. Like, we have just this covetous nature. Jesus goes after covetousness in the Sermon on the Mount because he's trying to free us from our love for money and stuff. Look what he says, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says each of you have stuff in your heart that you're like, that is my jam, right? I love that. It's my treasure. I love that. I want that. I need that. That's me in physical form, okay? My treasure. He says, and I just want you to know, whatever you identify as your treasure, whatever it is that you're pursuing, think about the concept of pursuing treasure, okay? It's a buried pirate treasure hunt, all right? And you will go to no ends. I mean, you will take all measure to find that pirate treasure, all right? Because a treasure is of great value. Jesus says, each of you has something like that in your life. He says, I want to tell you where your treasure is, that thing necessarily owns you. It owns your heart. Your heart is the essence of you. Your heart is owned by whatever your treasure is. So be real careful what you call your treasure. Be real careful. And God's objective here, Jesus' desire is, I want to be your treasure. Throw your money at me. I want to have your heart. Then he says this, just three verses later, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? When you think about this and you put it into practical terms, you're like, why do you work? If our answer is I work because I have to have money, I think we have a little bit of a wrong perspective. We want to work so that we have money to be a participant in the kingdom of God, not so that we work so that we've just got money for ourselves. He says, you have a master, and your master is either going to be God or it's going to be money, and you get to choose. But if it's God, you got to give away your money, and if it's money, you got to give away your God. Oh, this is terrifying. Jesus is like really cutthroat. This is like mean preacher. Okay? Because Jesus, don't you know we're Americans? We love money. Jesus goes, well, then you got a real problem. Because you can't love money and love God. There's not enough room in your heart. I know I made your heart. Your heart has got room for one, money or God. So we can't cherish money. We can't treasure money. We can't have money be our like main thing in life. I just want more money. I want more stuff. I got to get more and more and more. We can't live that way or we can't have God. This is Jesus in the greatest soul care, the greatest pastoral mode. He's after our hearts. I mean, our life is a fleeting vapor, and we're going to spend it pursuing money? We're going to make our whole life about stuff? He says, I want you to make your whole life about me, and then I promise, I'm a good father. I will give you good gifts. Actually, I didn't even put that in there. That's another one. Jesus talking about good gifts from the Father. It's money. I mean, because a gift costs something. There it is again. Jesus talking about, I'm all about this money thing. I just want you to have the right perspective. I don't want for you to think you're in charge. I want you to think I'm in charge. And the way I want you to show that, and the way I want you to degunk your tube, is I want you to give away money. And as you do, I'm going to look at that, I'm going to smile on it, and then I'm going to give you good gifts from heaven. Your Father will actually be the one that gives you the good gifts. We don't have to fight to go get those gifts. We have to fight to free up our heart. God gives good gifts to his children. This is crazy. I mean, if this stuff is real, this is like life-altering. This is perspective shifting about money and finances and even why we go make money. I want to make as much money as I can so I can spend it on myself. Jesus says, I want you to make as much money as you can so you can spend it on me. I want you to make as much money as you can. Go ahead, make as much money as you can, but don't let that money own you. Don't let that money, don't be deceived to think that money is for you. That money is to degunk your tube. I want you to make money and then sow it into the kingdom, and then I'll give you even more cool things. Let's keep going. The last one I want to look at here is Matthew 6, 19 through 20. And this is what happens when we give away money in the spiritual realm, if you will. Jesus says, I don't want you to store up treasure for yourself. Remember the where your heart is, where your treasure is, rather, your heart will be. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Just real quickly, don't collect a bunch of stuff to have stuff. I mean, if you're going to have a bunch of stuff, have a bunch of stuff so you can use it to like give to people and do stuff for people and bless people. Don't have a bunch of stuff for yourself. This is not a poverty mentality. This is, it just doesn't mean you can't have a bunch of stuff. It just means that stuff's not your stuff. That stuff is to be used for the kingdom. He says, don't store up for yourselves a bunch of treasure on the earth where moths and vermin destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. You know what the worst thing is? You work so hard, you try to get that thing, and then it gets stolen. It just gets ganked, taken in a moment. It's like, man, I worked so hard to get that thing. Gone. Jesus warned us. He said, people can steal your stuff. Oh, but they can't steal your treasure, not your real treasure. It says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, I thought you told me I wasn't supposed to store up treasures. Oh, no, no, no. I want you to store up treasures. I just don't want them on planet Earth. I want you to store up treasures. You know you're going to die in a minute. I mean, 100 years, if you live that long, is a minute. You're going to live for billions of years somewhere, heaven or hell. Somewhere. Everybody's going to live for billions of years. We live our life for these 50, 60, 80, 100 years, however many years you get. We live our life now like it's the only life we get. And Jesus is going, no, that is totally not. I made you eternal. I made you of the same stuff I'm made of. I formed you in the dust. I formed you in the image of God. You're going to live forever. I want you to have stuff forever. Forever stuff. Stuff that doesn't wear out. Stuff that is way better than the stuff down here. I want you to have heaven-forged, handcrafted stuff. I just want you to have it in the next life, which is going to last for billions of years, instead of storing up stuff on this side. And the way that you get stuff upstairs is by giving stuff away downstairs. You give away your money, and God sees it and goes, more stuff in heaven. You're going to be the stuffinest. I'm going to have so much stuff for you. I want you to make your life about storing up stuff in heaven, not on earth. So you think about the two people. One's hearing this message right now and going, this is stupid. I want my stuff for 80 years or however many I got. I want stuff for 80 years. The other one goes, I want stuff forever. And then both of them live that out to its fullest for 20, 30, 50 years, however many you got before you perish, okay? And now you wind up before the throne. And now those same two dudes, they're having a conversation in heaven. And the one guy who is storing up stuff in the age to come, storing up treasures in heaven, he invites the other guy over to his house. And the other guy shows up, and the house, you can't even see the top floor. He walks in, everything's made of gold. It's got all the coolest stuff. It's got technology that's only been formed in heaven. Lining the walls and the pavement, the this and the that, okay? Even the doorbell blows your mind, all right? And then the guy goes, the guy who's rich in heaven, who lived for heaven, not lived for earth, he lived for the next age, he says, hey, man, I know, man, you were like a real big deal down there. Like, you had all this stuff, and like, life was awesome. Take me over to your place. Oh, no, that's okay. It's all right. Well, what's the deal? I want to see your place. I mean, I know, like, man, you had it all together. You always had the coolest this and the coolest that. Everything was awesome. Man, you had it all. Show me your house. I got a little shack on the edge of town. It's bronze. It's cool. It's one story. I don't really think we need to go look at that. Let's just hang out here. This is real. That is not a fake conversation. Those conversations will be had by real people. And the details might be a little different, but the reality is absolutely true. You can live for this life or you can live for the next, but you cannot live for both. And the way of God related to our heart, connected to money, it's one of the most profound things. We talked a little bit last week about why fasting is food and not every other cool thing. Because if you don't eat, you'll die. But if you don't watch TV, you won't die. You know? So that's why fasting is food. God goes after the most like violent things in our heart. He's like, I want you to understand that if you will give up, if you will sow into the kingdom, and don't just give it away and just like poverty mentality, oh, I'm going to be poor and broke. Like, engage faith for the love of all good things. Who would fast and then not go, God bless me for not eating? Like, you got to pray and agree with the fast. Pray and agree with the giving. Oh, God, bless me. I want them good gifts, Papa. You said you're a good father. I believe you. You're a good Papa. I expect them to show up on the porch. Because I'm giving away my money, so I'm believing you to give good gifts. And God goes, oh, I love this game. I love this relationship. I love to interact with you this way. I love to see you engaging faith. If faith doesn't cost you something, it ain't faith. Faith is costly. Faith causes you problems. And if it doesn't cause you problems, it's probably not faith. Because what did it take? To take a step of faith means you could really die. There could really be bad things that happen. Jesus wants our heart. And so he talks so much about money in the Sermon on the Mount because he's after our life pursuit being him, his ways, his kingdom, connectedness to his heart. And he knows that money has power in our lives, in our hearts. Now, you got to pay your bills. You got to make a way. We have got to get a new perspective about how money works. Are you really in charge? Are you the supplier for your household? Because if so, I pity you. Really, I'm sorry for you if you're in charge of the money for your household. Because you're not that smart. I'm not that smart. You're not that cool. You're not that connected. You're not that fill in the blank. If, however, God is in charge and you've submitted the budget over to him, endless possibilities, limitless potential. You will make so much impact. Your heart will be alive because now it's not just go to church and have a relationship with God. It's go to your budget and have a relationship with God. Now you get to talk to God about all the stuff related to your money, and money affects everything every day. Lord, do you want me to buy this? Is this a good decision with my finances? Lord, do you want me to sow into that? Oh, there's something I could give to you. Lord, I already gave away all my money. God, would you give me more money so I could give more money? Because I ain't got more money. I want to bless him. Think about how many times in the course of a week you pull out your wallet. I mean, this is like a lot. You know, to buy the gas, to buy the burger, to pay for to pay the bill. Like, you pull out your wallet a lot of times a week. God wants to be all up in the middle of that conversation, like, big time. So the issue of Jesus teaching on finances so many times in the Sermon on the Mount, it's about walking with God in the area of our finances because it's like one of the top areas of our whole existence. Money. Because it takes money to exist. I just want to give you a few lessons that I feel like the Lord's just laid on my heart over the years. Part of what happens when we give away our money is we get to move the kingdom of God forward. We get to move the kingdom of God forward in every way. Every time you give a dollar to anywhere, any person, anything, and it's done, your motive was, I'm doing this for you, Jesus. You are potentially softening that heart. You are helping that ministry take a step forward. You are providing food for that person. You're moving the kingdom of God forward. You're expanding the kingdom through money. I love it. I mean, sometimes I'm tired and I don't really want to talk to the person or pray for the person. But if I got a dollar, I can still move the kingdom forward. I don't even have to talk to them. I can just give a dollar. You move the kingdom forward through finances. It's so cool. This is like the greatest thing ever. It's a tool to partner with God. I can't believe God lets us do anything with him. What a gamble. I mean, what a faith step by God. Man, it takes a lot of faith from God to trust me with anything. And I know to trust you because I know some of you. When we get to give away money in partnership with God, it's partnership. It's a divine partnership. It's us holding God's hand, God holding our hand and saying, hey, I want to do something and I want to use you to do it. Give some money to this thing. And I'll make that thing work in a way it wouldn't have worked if you didn't give the money. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like if I don't give that money, that thing doesn't do the thing that you wanted it to do? Correct. Oh my gosh. But if I give the money, it does? Uh-huh. Oh, this is weighty stuff. Partnership. God, you want to partner with me? You want me to be like in the story with you. You look at his partnership like, you're going to do the work, but I got to give the money. And if I don't give the money, you're not going to do the work. Oh my gosh, I can't handle this. Partnership, that we get to be in partnership with God. That excites me. The thought that God and I could do something together today. How cool. That's awesome. It's a practical expression of compassion every time you give away money. Look at the 2 Corinthians 9:11. We looked at it earlier. I skipped forward a couple verses. Thanks, church. Your generosity, your money giving away will result in thanksgiving to God. When you give away money, it causes people to love God more. Have you ever been on the receiving end? You ever been in one of those moments where you needed it and then the Lord provided it through somebody and you knew it was the Lord? It was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're so real. You gave me money. You're taking care of me. You're helping me. It causes your heart to go, I love God even more than I did yesterday. He says, I want you to be a part of this in the kingdom. I want for you to make people love me better by giving money away. You will cause thanksgiving in the hearts of people to God. Not, oh, thank you, Mother Earth, for providing for me. Thanksgiving to God. I don't know about you. I like the idea of being part of moving somebody's heart for them to have more thanksgiving to God. I like that. Like, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that process that causes people to have additional thanksgiving to God, and I get to be a part of it. This is awesome. It's also a costly act of obedience. 2 Corinthians 9:7, that same passage. Each one of you should give. You should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but you should give. This concept of giving, it's an act of obedience. This is Paul going, hey, you got that thing in your heart that you want to do. I want to encourage you to do it. But it's costly when we give away money. Because if we gave away money, we don't have that money to buy the thing that we wanted to buy with the money for ourselves, to make our life better and make our family happy. Like, if you give away the money, that's real money gone. It's really costly. It's gone. It's actually gone. Those dollars are gone. It's costly. And it's an act of obedience. And Jesus defines love by obedience. You know that? He says, he who has my commands and obeys them, he's the one that loves me. Obedience to the commands of Jesus is expression of our love to Jesus. So when we give away money, every time, I want you to think about this when you give away money. Every time we do, Jesus goes, that's an act of obedience. I see you. I got a big smile. I'm so happy at you right now. This is me being happy at you. You're giving away money. That's so costly. That's an awesome act of obedience. My personal favorite reason, though, honestly, in all this, I love to encounter God. I'm a junkie. I love to feel God's presence. I love to hear his voice. I love to see him move in my life and go, ha ha, he's real. See, I was an atheist, and God wasn't real. There was no such thing as God. So there was no God to be looking for in life. There was no God whose voice to hear. There was no God in my world. And when I came to God, when I gave my life to Jesus, I became a junkie on proving to my old atheist self how real God is 1,000 times over today. I want to encounter him. I want to know the living God. We have the opportunity to know God as a friend, as a father, as a person in our inner circle, a real person, not a fictitious, far-off deity, an experienced reality. In the area of finances, I'm just telling you, it blew my mind early on in Christ. This was my lane. This was my on-ramp to encountering God more than anything else when I first came to know the Lord, when I first started walking with Jesus. And I just want to give you this. 2 Corinthians 9:7, it's the second part of that passage. It says this, God loves a cheerful giver. And I just decided that's me. I'm going to be loved, extra loved. More than God so loved the world loved, I'm going to be cheerful giver loved. And I'm going to feel that pleasure. I'm going to give away money and I'm going to go, I'm ready. get me. Because I know right now you love me because I'm a cheerful giver. I just know you're so happy at me right now. And it just started to transform my heart. It started to change my world. I go, God loves a cheerful giver. So I want to be a cheerful giver as often as I can be because I just want to experience that love. It's not that God doesn't love an uncheerful giver. It's just there's more. When you're God, you have infinite resources. So if you gave all you have, you still have way more to give. So if God already loves everybody, he's got even more love he can give. I want that. And after I have that, I want more. And after that, I want to double it. God wants to lavish his love, and I just want to be a person who gets to experience God's love a lot. And I do. I get to. It's part of the joy in my life, is the feeling of God's love and his pleasure. I want to encounter God. When we give away finances, it's an on-ramp to encounter. You guys remember last week we looked at Matthew 6:4? Matthew 6:4, that your giving may be done in secret, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He sees you giving away money. He sees it. He sees it. Maybe nobody else does. Maybe others see it and don't care. Maybe others see it and despise how little it is. Not your Father. He sees it. And he promises he will reward you. I don't even know what the rewards are. I don't even have to. Just the fact that God goes, you did that? Rewards are coming for you, little buddy. The thought that God would be storing up rewards, watching my giving away money, like how? It's paper. It's paper. I mean, we've said it's worth something, but is it? I mean, I don't know. It's just paper. We give away paper, or even less than that, we make transactions online and numbers go from here to over here. Just numbers in the sky. We move numbers in the sky, we give away paper, and God goes, ha, 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 can't wait to reward you. For numbers in the sky and paper? Duh, let's just do this. This is so easy. This is crazy that God feels this way. I want to be right in the middle of the story. I want to encourage you. My greatest desire this morning, I want to provoke you to build a history in God related to giving away money and seeing God do wild things in your life. My whole life in Christ, I mean, my spiritual walk was so impacted by being 20 years old and giving away more money than I could really probably really, really, really afford, and then watching God come through for me over and over with random checks in the mail from people I've never heard of. I never told anybody the need. It would just show up. Because God says, give and it will be given to you. This is how it works. With the measure that you sow, that's what you'll reap. Because God's involved in the equation. Now, if God's not real, you're in trouble. And if God's on vacation, you're also in trouble. But as long as God sees what you do in secret, he sees, and he's the God that started the world and started everything. If the God who's in charge of everything sees what you do, then you're okay. You're set. I want to provoke you to start building a history in God where you're giving that money. You're blessing that person. You're sowing into that thing. And then you're watching God come through for you and provide for you in ways that it's not just you bringing money into the house anymore through your natural income at your job. Now it's other streams, other ways, other blessings, other gifts where the Lord's moving on your behalf. This is why I think Jesus went so heavy on it in the Sermon on the Mount. He wanted to get us free from covetousness, thinking about all of our money belonging to ourselves, all of our money being for our pleasures, our purposes, our family. He wanted to help us get free from that so that then he could start to release crazy blessings in our life. Listen, we talk about giving 10% here. That's not even giving. That's just tithing. That's God said do that as a starting point. I want to encourage all of you, get past the concept of tithing. Start tithing yesterday and then go give away a lot more money other places. And pray that God would help you have a heart, help you to know how to steward your finances, help you to have more money coming in so you can give more money away. I want to encourage you, go on this journey. You cannot outgive God. You cannot get to a point where you're doing this lifestyle of giving into the kingdom in a way that God's like, oh man, you're such a fool. I can't believe you're storing up treasures in heaven. What are you doing? I'm telling you that conversation. We're going to have them. We're going to be upstairs. We're going to be talking to somebody. Maybe we're on one end or the other. Having that conversation about how big the house is and what's inside of it. Forever. the Forever House. I got a little house over in South Arlington. I kind of like it. The one I got upstairs, I am going to work my tail off down here to make that house bigger. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, he will reward us according to what we do. And he relates so much of this to what we do with our finances. I want to encourage you to be generous on every occasion. I just quote in Paul. I want to encourage you to be those that find needs and meet needs. Not so that my life's better or Foreigner Fellowship's better. Like, I'm not going to get anything out of this. In fact, don't give to me. Go give to somebody else. Go and sow into the kingdom and then watch God turn around and build your history in him and just produce so much more than you could ever do in your life.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.